Welcome to Small Business Big Network, the podcast for small business owners who want big results from their networking. I'm Liz Drury, a freelance voiceover artist who knows that if you're not working, then networking could help. Michelle Jones is the founder of Squawk Design, and keep listening to find out how she came up with that name. It's a great story. Michelle says that when you go networking, you should go with building relationships in mind rather than business. Thank you very much for being my guest on the podcast today, Michelle.
Oh, thanks ever so much for having me.
Now, you're all about design and branding, but have you always worked in this field, and was it what you always wanted to do?
I haven't always worked in the field. I started off in publishing design. And when I was at college, I studied graphic design and photography and image manipulation. And a company came in and promoted themselves to me because, honestly, I had no idea what I wanted to do at college, but I loved magazines. And this company came in and they spoke so passionately about it. And I thought, yes, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I spoke to them afterwards and they said, I could go and have some work experience with them. So I got into that, went for my 2 weeks work experience and absolutely fell in love with magazine design. And I applied for some jobs that were going there, got one, spent 12 years in publishing and kind of learnt my craft, I suppose, learnt how to do photo shoots, learn how to listen and express myself in 2D. I then it got to a really tricky point in my career. I remember this is some time ago now, but the company wouldn't allow me to progress anymore because I was a woman, basically.
Oh, really?
Yes, they were very scared. The words actually were, I'm sorry, we can't take you any further in this business because we're worried you're going to get pregnant. And therefore, we have to find somebody else to fill your gap.
Wow.
If that ever happened to you. So what we're going to put on your record is that you're not creative enough. Now, for anybody that is a creative and is listening to this, you know how much that is a stab in the back. So I decided then to kind of, okay, that's, I need to do something else. I'm not going to stay where I'm not wanted, or I'm not going to be used to my potential or anything like that. So I decided, I knew there were some redundancies coming about, so I put my name forward, left and set up my own consultancy, design and consultancy business. Worked for people all over the country, mainly in magazine design. So pretty much worked for every publishing company in the country. And while I was doing that, I was taking on other jobs and it sort of like evolved into doing more branding. And more kind of brand storytelling and interior branding, and it's kind of evolved into what it is now.
Well, I'm gobsmacked. I don't know what to say. I mean, did you do anything about that legally, or do you just kind of say, okay, let's draw a line under that and let's just get out of here?
It was kind of a, okay, they don't want me. That's fine. That I'm okay with that. I think it just proved to me that it was time for me to go on and kind of stretch my wings and to see what I was actually capable of doing. And I saw it as kind of a thank you, really. I didn't really want to do anything legal about it because that could draw out for years. It could affect my redundancy money that I received. And I, you know, I didn't want to give them any kind of, I just didn't care about them.
No.
So I just kind of decided that's it. I'm just going to go and do my thing.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I did. It made it very easy for me.
So after you moved on from there and you said you worked for sort of various publishers and various titles, are there any that stand out that are memorable?
Yeah, I think each of them were memorable for different reasons. I think the first one I would say is rail titles. So that covered rail, monorail and steam railway. And I think that was the biggest learning curve I had going from college straight into full-time work. And the people there were so creative in what is seen as some sort of geeky kind of train spotters. And
my husband likes that kind of thing. I recognise those titles.
That was the biggest learning curve, and the speed of having to do things. Like when you're given a project at college, you're like, oh, you get 6 weeks to do that. And then you're like, in real life, no, you've got 6 hours to do that. Like, okay, I get it. I think that the people there and how much I learned made it the most memorable. Most memorable experience. Yeah, it was wonderful working there.
Yeah. So how long ago was that? How long have you been freelancing now?
Freelancing. Wow. I wish my husband was here. He's really good with dates. I think I was there for about 12 years. So I think it's been about 15 years since I left.
Yeah.
I've been freelancing or, running Squark Design.
Yeah.
About 15 years now.
Yeah. How did you come up with the name Squark Design? Where's that come from?
Oh, I get asked this a lot. People always say, oh, how do you pronounce it? Is it Squark or Squark? And I prefer Squark because I like the sound. But if somebody said to me, you're Squark Design, it doesn't offend me. But the name, I originally wanted to be called Puffin Designs, but the domain was already taken by a kitchen company. Kitchen's out a word, apparently. And I just didn't know what to call myself. So I love the sound of onomatopoeic words.
Yeah.
Like Twitter. I think that's brilliant. Although even though that's been ruined now, but we won't go there.
Yeah.
But I couldn't come up with anything, and I kept going to my husband, who is now my husband, and saying, oh, how about this name? And he's like, no, that's too dull. And he's like, no, this name, no. So we went to Ireland for New Year one year, and I'd had quite a lot of whiskey, shall we say. And I decided to run along a beach, and I was pretending to be a bird, don't ask me why. And I was flapping my arms really hard, and I went and stood on this huge log that had been washed up by the sea, and I stood up and I went squawk like that really loud, and my husband turned around and went, that is what you should call your business. So I went the next morning, I bought the domain, and we've been Squark Design ever since.
I think that's the best kind of origin story for a brand name I've ever heard.
Oh, thank you so much. It's amazing what whiskey can do for your soul.
Absolutely. So tell me about some of the kinds of clients that you've worked for since you became freelance.
Oh, wow. I've worked for so many different variations of clients, but I think my favourites have been... let's start with Volleyball England. I was brought on board there to help them adapt some logos, like in an umbrella brand.
Yeah.
So I worked with them for a while, and then I started doing their annual reports. And recently it's taken a whole bigger turn where they're trying to teach schools, teach teachers to teach the pupils how to play volleyball, which will bring a new generation of players up into hopefully going for the Olympics and playing for the country and so on. So I've been working with them for the last couple of years to create illustrations on how to actually set the play out and cards on how to help them teach the sport at different levels. So I think that's been extremely exciting working with those.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. So are your clients from any, is there a pattern in terms of the size of businesses you work for or the kinds of sectors that they're involved in?
Yeah, no, the ones that I work with long term are ones that are kind of medium sized kind of businesses. They're established. They know what they're doing, but they need help in educating others to either do what they do or to kind of differentiate themselves from other people in the industry. And the main people are kind of that seem to be magnetized towards me, probably because I know quite a lot about the subject, are people in the model rail industry and the railway industry. I suppose because of my working on rail, steam rail, model rail, I must have picked up a few connections there that have progressed over the years.
Yes.
And so I've worked with a lot of those. So I'm working with Hellion and Gagemaster. I've done a bit of work for Rail and Network Rail and a few of those. And I really love work. I find the people lovely in that industry. I know everyone probably thinks off the cuff that they're kind of geeky and, you know, they probably put a voice to them and they always wear anoraks. But I find them the most inspiring people to talk to. They are very knowledgeable about what they do. And they're really, really passionate.
Yeah.
Really passionate about it. And I can't think there's a better companies to work for than people that really care about what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you find that when a new client comes to you and they give you a project to do you find that they'll often come back to you once you've done one project and get you to do different things for them further down the line?
All the time. We've got an 88% turnaround where people just come back and reuse us over and over and over again.
That's brilliant.
And that's what we want to do is we're not in for just, oh, give us some pictures and words and we'll make something for you and then that's it. It's all about building a relationship for us and helping you grow your successful brand. That's what we do.
Yeah. So tell me about some of the services that you offer your clients. How do you work with them?
When people are interested in us, we normally say come to the Brand Power Hour Q&A, which is an hour online free event where they can see how we kind of talk, how we are, and to see if we're a really good fit for them.
Yeah.
So in this event, we basically answer any branding questions, brand storytelling, any problems to do with your brand within that meeting. And it's just a safe space for people to go to. It doesn't matter your size of business. So if you've got a problem like you've been like spending a fortune out on going to events, for example, and they're not working, they're not giving you the return that you want, that's a really great place to go and just ask that question. And if you like us and want to have a conversation afterwards, then that's what we'll do. We'll book something in. We then go into creating a 3-point plan for any business owner, and they can either go away with that 3-point plan and kind of incorporate it within their business. They can use us to help their internal team if they need that. We could do it with you, for you, however you would like it doing. That's kind of how we do it. So it's kind of a flexible kind of experience for the customer. And it's also not tied in if they don't want it.
Yeah.
So if they want to just use this once or twice and then it's another 8 months before they come back to it, that's absolutely fine. But we generally tend to work with people on a monthly basis. Either that's hours per month or days per month.
Okay, so $1 million question then. What is a brand and how important is it to get that nailed for your business?
Right, okay, that's a big one there, Liz. Thanks for that. Right, I think a brand is different to a lot of people. You could have about 20 different branding consultants or graphic designers here and they would give you different questions. Give different answers to that question. But for me, branding is the emotional connection between a business and their ideal customer. It's the feeling a business gives. So it's not just a logo or just your brand messaging. It's not the look of your packaging. It's the whole feel of the look of your brand, the way you talk to people, the way you interact with people, the experience you give them. It's every touch point has a feeling, and that is what branding is to me.
I think that's a really great answer. Do you have any top tips for people who are going through the process of trying to work out what their brand is?
Yes, I do. I do, definitely. The first one is get an external perspective. And I speak from experience with that. Whenever you're in your own brand, you're so technologically orientated about how things work and think you communicate from the inside rather than the outside. And what I mean is the inside of your business, not thinking from your customer perspective. So always without any kind of, please just ask somebody from the outside, somebody that is completely does not know you, but will understand your audience and understand what you're trying to do and see if the connection is there. Because a lot of people build brands or logos or anything like that around what they like and mm-hmm. what they want, and that is the biggest mistake. So I would say, first of all, do that. And the next one I'd say is, with AI coming in, please be very careful about using that at where it stands at the moment, because I'm sure people have seen in the press and online that people are just typing in like Sheila's hairdresser or something like that, please create me a logo, mm-hmm. or please create me messaging, and it's actually coming up, well, stealing, I would say, other people's messaging and other people's logos at the moment. It's not at the point where people can develop it. You don't own that copyright. You don't own that business. You're not differentiating yourself at all, and you could cause yourself a lot of trouble with that. So I would say be very careful.
Yeah, I think that's very good advice. So let's turn to the networking now. Is networking something that you've always done for your business?
Yeah, for multiple reasons, really. I started off with, obviously, on my own. And you can get very boxed in when you work on your own. Mm. And I think it's really good to go out and meet people. And kind of it helps put a clearer perspective on your day and any troubles you're going through, because you're never on your own.
No.
And everyone thinks when you're in it, you feel like, oh, I'm the only one believing this, or I'm not good enough. And then imposter syndrome takes over then your mental health suffers and all of that. And it's just like a huge tumbleweed, really, in your life. And I think networking, you get to be out there and share and help each other grow and build just all of you up in one go, rather than just sitting there sulking by yourself wondering why it's not going right.
And how do you like to network for your business?
I like to do a bit of online and a bit of offline. There are a couple of networking events I go to in person, which is the Grantham Business Network, and I like going to the Rutland Business Network as well. They're with the in-person ones, but I also like the Creative Collective and the Founders Club. I really like those as well.
And do you think that the way that you network has changed since the pandemic?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of you out there who have children will realise that time is very limited when they're either at school or nursery, and you're trying to juggle work and life and everything. So having some of the meetings online really help with timing. You don't have to drive anywhere, park, and it's effective use of time. But I feel a lot better connections are made in person.
And what have you got from going networking? What's it brought your business?
Firstly, I think I would say I've got quite a few collaborations out of it. And I think I think it's more the friendships and relationships that have grown from it, and the support network that I've now got, which I never thought I would get from networking. I think a lot of people, when they're new business, they just want to sell stuff, and if they don't sell, they see networking as a failure. For me, I see building relationships as a huge success, and those people, those key relationships that I've had, they have brought me business through recommendation.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way to see networking, rather than I've not made a sale at this event, therefore it's not working for me.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you mentioned a minute ago about collaborations as one of the things that's come out of networking for you. So what's your opinion of the kinds of networks where you can only have one graphic designer in the group and everyone else is then kept away?
Personally, I don't get that. I don't understand why. Because you can have a number of graphic designers, or you can have a number of branding designers in a room, and the way they approach things are completely different.
Yeah.
It's just like you can have everybody in that networking room have different personalities, they have different ways of speaking, the way they dress, their different personalities, and it's the same with brands. Mm-hmm. And I think basically saying, oh, we've got one of you, that's enough. Well, what happens if the rest of the people in the group don't like the way that person operates in any way, whether they don't like them because they've annoyed somebody or they've heard bad reputation, or I don't know, anything like that. And they're just stuck with that one person in that group, which then makes them want to leave and find another group. So I don't think it's a sustainable way of running a networking group. I personally don't.
Yeah. And presumably you're not bothered if you walk into a networking event and there happens to be three other people that do something very similar to you. That's not a problem.
No, not at all. Most of the time I'm friends with them, and I love what they do. And if I'm overworked, I'll send them work, or if the client's not quite right for me, or a different budget, or they're looking for a bigger element that I can't deliver, I will send them off to those specific people. I think knowing people in your business and having a relationship with them is better than going, no, this is all mine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna communicate with you just in case you beat me at something. I just don't think that's is healthy for the person or for the industry you work in.
Yeah, yeah. So have you got any useful tips that you would like to pass on to people who are perhaps new to the networking game?
I'll give it a shot. I would say know your ideal customer and go to the groups that those people hang out. I think a lot of people go because they hear it's a good group, or because it's easier distance to them. Yeah. I would say just focus on where your ideal customer hangs out. That'd be my number one. Number two is build relationships. Don't go with business in mind.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll succeed if you do that. And thirdly is help the people that you meet.
Yeah.
And they will always help you back.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's really important to remember that. So finally, Michelle, if people want to find you and Squawk Design, what is the best place for them to do that?
You can pop straight to the website at squawkdesign.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn and come and chat to me personally.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and no doubt I will see you at a networking meeting soon.
You certainly will, Liz. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Small Business Big Network. If you found this podcast useful, please do rate, review and subscribe. And don't forget to share it with the rest of your network too.